healthcare providers, that subsection needs to read that the manner of administering healthcare pursuant to healthcare decision made by the attorney in fact shall be one of reasonable care.
Well, what? 10 through 12?
At page 12?
It's page 12.
Read it again.
The manner of administering health care pursuant to a health care decision made by the attorney, in fact, shall be one of reasonable care.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Does everybody understand that that's and right. why Representative Clark is putting that forward? Representative Bryan, you seem to have a furrow in your eyes.
Wrinkled brow. But I'm just tracking it here. I'm just rereading section 3.
Once again, it's a conformity amendment to this reasonableness versus good faith standard that we have been applying, working through the,
absolutely,
threading it through the bill.
Thank you.
I believe Representative Clark has made that motion to amend, so.
Objection. No objection.
Learned Counsel, is there problems? I notice you're over there with Representative Clark. Is he?
No, Mr. Chair.
Are you prepared, Learned Counsel, to know what that is now?
Yes, I am.
Representative Minnis? Representative Calhoun, is there objections to that? Now, Representative Edmondson again renews his motion to move.
So moved.
Senate Bill 523.
As amended.
Be engrossed as amended by this subcommittee, Family Justice, to the full committee with the due pass recommendation. Would the clerk please call the roll on that motion, please?
Representatives Bryan.
Aye.
Calhoun.
Aye.
Clark.
Aye.
Edmondson.
Aye.
Minnis.
Aye.
Chair Courtney.
Yes. Representative Edmondson must leave us now for a few moments, maybe forever. I would now like to go to Senate Bill 404, which is work session on 404. I don't know what to do with 404. Learned Counsel, will someone tell me why it's back here and what we're supposed to do with it? Because I would someone, what do you, where are we, Learned Counsel?
Mr. Chair, you were sitting next to the chair of the committee. Perhaps you have some insight.
All right, let me go start with the committee. Penny, help me.
I tried to do some research today to come up with some suggestions and other ideas. I was not successful.
Does anybody have any ideas of what to do with this bill in view of what we did with it, in view of what I don't think you will do with it?
Mr. Chair.
But I'm not trying to be funny, but I don't know what to do with it.
Let's move it back to focus.
Chair is very upset. He doesn't like it.
Mr. Chair, with all due respect both to you and to the high chair, it seems to me that...
I'm the low chair.
That the high chair has absolutely the privilege of coming before us, proposing amendments, proposing some ideas, helping us change it, telling us, working with us, and we don't have that help. I don't know what's in the mind of the high chair.
Well, let me see. We got your arrest records you can expunge. We said that, right?
Correct.
We want to keep the kernel of the bill, which was no matter what, you don't expunge
sexual.
Help me here. Crimes against offenses involving sexual abuse on a child, right? Everybody's agreed on that. So that's the reason we put the bill in. We're going to say you can't expunge arrest records. In between, what did we do? See, help me here. What did we do that just drove everybody bananas? Oh, we didn't. We were going to say, and we did not, Representative Kalari, not to speak for him, was going to take out, was going to say you couldn't expunge even juvenile records of any kind. Isn't that right? Wasn't that at one time? And we said, no, that was going too far, right? Am I wrong?
No,
help
right.
me here. We felt we couldn't go that far. But we did then come around, Representative Clark taking the lead, if I'm not mistaken, and say what?
That you could still expunge arrest records.
Yeah, but you wanted to keep, you didn't want to expunge
we don't want to expunge.
Class C felonies and misdemeanors.
And sex crimes for juveniles.
Well, I've already said.
Well, that stays in.
All right, let me ask a question. Let's take misdemeanors. I'm not trying to ignore you, Representative Calhoun. Let's take misdemeanors. Would that be a bone to throw them? I'm trying. I understand you're going to make a fool of me. You can say, Courtney, you're being a fool. What about if we leave in anything that's a misdemeanor can come out, but nothing in a felony? Would that help? Is that any good? Hello? Everybody?
You know, if you're going to move on some kind of consensus territory at all, from my perspective, if you look on line 4 of the language being deleted in the amendments where it talks about after 3 years.
Which dash 2?
I'm looking
in?
At dash 2.
Okay.
Dash 2.
To move that time period out to a period of 7 years or something to that effect. So the expungement would be allowed, but rather than within a 3-year period, we're talking 7 years of good behavior and having complied with the court's
And that would
sentence.
Be all? Existing expungement law?
With the exception of the
sex
offender issues. In other words, if you were you had an adult criminal record, you've been clean for 7 years, you complied with the sanctions of the court sentence, and 7 years have gone by, on that 8th year you could apply for expungement of your record.
With the exceptions in the bill relating to sex offenses.
That's right.
All right. Let's put that out there. You've heard my idea on misdemeanors. Representative Calhoun, you have something to say?
Well, there are two things out of Greek mythology that sort of come to mind on this one, Mr. Chair. First one is, remember the guy with he had the bucket and he's supposed to go get the water and there's no, supposed to fill up this vat, but there's a hole in the bucket so he just can't get any water. And then there's the other guy that had the liver that kept getting torn out by the vultures and it kept growing back. And this that sort of comes
it's
to
a
mind.
Cartoon
we're
or
working
something?
On this bill, and I just don't, we keep running up the hill, and I just, I don't see that we're getting anywhere on this thing. I mean, I'd kind of like to move on to some productive work.
How about a little?
Well, I'm sure, you mean work on productive work on the bill or to other bills?
I'd like to move on to a different bill.
Well, I'm not necessarily opposed to what you're saying, Mr. Calhoun. I was just taking one last attempt here to see if the committee would move off its position, and I'm not saying it should because I went along with the committee, but I got a chair who is adamant on this thing, and so I'm just trying to probe, but I won't be probing much further. Representative Clark?
Chair, the high chair appoints the conference committee. This is a Senate bill.
A conference committee, I guess, could include one member from the House or possibly
he could stack the conference committee in his favor, because you know he's going to shoot it in the head. The Senate's going to shoot this thing in the head as soon as it gets over there, and so we're going to conference. I mean, they're going to blow it away. And maybe Tommy ought to just let it go for now and figure because they're going to be waiting for it. They're going to ambush it. I don't know what else to do. Yes?
Are we in work session?
Yes, we are.
I'm going to try something and just make the motion that we change 3 years to 7 years and see what happens. And we're going to get into, he went into Greek mythology, biblical numerology, the number 8 is the number of new beginnings, so.
All right, now that we've talked about the Greeks, God, and everything else that's going on, let's get into this. He's got a motion on the floor.
I need to understand the motion a little bit better. Representative Minnis, the effect of your motion would be that we would have existing expunction law with Senate Bill 404 as it came to us relating to sex offenses.
That's correct.
And we move the clean period from 3 years to 7 years before you can apply to expungement.
Yes, sir.
That's it.
Including the bill.
Okay.
Clean and simple, straightforward. Make a move. Representative Clark.
I won't be able to support the motion. I appreciate what Representative Miss is doing. I think that the committee stated its reason for removing that statute that pretends like something didn't happen that did. And that's the basis for the original motion that I made. I'd be willing to extend I'd be willing to do some other things, but not that.
Representative Bryan, how you feel?
Well, I would entertain that type of language for misdemeanors, for example. A period of time for misdemeanors, but I'm hesitant to on felons.
All right.
I would be open to that.
All right, we got some movement here because of your great motion, Representative Minnis. I'm looking for you to sort of amend that motion and look, I mean, give it a shot.
The original bill was fine with me as we sent it to the full chair, so that's fine. I can acquiesce.
All right, I think what we got going here is it applies, the 7 years would apply to misdemeanors only. How about that? We got some movement there? I'm not trying to force anything.
Yeah, otherwise you could still expunge misdemeanors.
Yeah. After.
But not felonies.
No felonies. We're talking misdemeanors, and we're talking 7 years. Well, Representative Clark, you said there were some other things you'd want to look
at. Fine.
No, what? Representative Calhoun, where are you on this?
Chair, you know how I am on waiting periods.
I don't. I don't know about where you are on waiting periods.
No, I'm happy. Whatever we can do, I'm...
All right.
I just keep running up the hill here.
Well, I agree, Representative Calhoun.
My liver keeps getting torn out, and there's no water in my bucket. I'm ready to go on here, Mr. Chair.
Representative Clark? Representative Clark, what?
Mr. Chair?
I would be a yes on Representative Minnis's motion as amended by Representative Bryan.
I had to come here because the Marine Corps wouldn't take me.
I see. Well,
question, call the question.
All right, the question's been called. Is there any objections to the motion by Representative Minnis, which is that the statute of limitation, no, how do we want to say this? That
yeah, the, how do we want to say this?
Well, that
expungement.
Application of expungement for misdemeanors be 7 years. That's basically the. That's exactly it, isn't it?
Conceptual motion.
It's conceptual. Isn't that it? That's exact.
There's some things, section, Mr. Chairman. You know, there may be a paragraph that needs to be brought back in now and so forth. So I think if we do it conceptually and ask legal counsel to.
All right.
Plus, you can still expunge arrests only.
Right.
And all the things that we did before.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Is there objection to that amendment? Representative Minnis moves House Senate Bill 404.
Full committee, hasn't it?
A, no, come on, let's get, what kind of engrossed is it? It's, as amended?
I think 404, I don't know how to crisscross this. Let's say 404 as amended.
As amended to the full committee.
And then we'll have to come up with a.
With a due pass recommendation. Clerk, please call the roll. We're going back up the hill. Get your bucket ready.
Minnis?
Aye.
Edmondson?
Excuse?
Clark?
Calhoun? Aye.
Bryan?
Aye.
Chair Courtney?
Yes. Learned Council, what are we doing now?
Let's go to 967.
Is this the last meeting of this committee? If crime and justice, crime.
Call down.
No. We're in a recess, and this could just.
Hey, this is the fun of the session.
This is the.
And request unanimous consent to allow Representative Calori to vote on two bills we've just sent to full committee. Is there any objection? Please call Representative Calori's name on Senate Bill 523.
Representative
Calori? Aye.
404 Senate Bill?
Representative
Calori? No. Does that, what does that do? Does that mean it doesn't
no,
pass
No, it doesn't,
out?
Doesn't change the outcome.
Woo!
I don't
hard failure me, baby.
No one vote.
No one
vote. Yes, no. I don't think you like what we did the expungement statute.
Well, you watered it down a great deal.
And you ought to hear what Mason just did before what I told him. He just went bonkers. All right. 967. Please, work session on 967. Learned Council, quickly, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, at our last hearing on this bill, the committee adopted Representative Minnis's amendments put forth by Representative Minnis, which were the A2 amendments, which are primarily a replacement of the original bill. The committee then adopted some amendments that had to do with training for mandatory reporters. The problem arose, however, when Representative Minnis's version of the bill did not have a section that had any reference to training for mandatory reporters.
Nice job, Representative Minnis. you want to make a motion to that effect, Representative?
No.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. I just thought I'd do your job and his job, too. Go ahead.
I have prepared for the committee an amendment that would take some of the language that was in the original bill. The committee at its last hearing considered a reconstruction of the mandatory training language that was proposed by the Oregon Medical Association. I have been over this with them. It is not inconsistent philosophically with the position that was posited in those amendments. But basically what the new Section 6 would do is basically sets forth that CSD shall implement a training and education program for those persons, and then it goes into the language that Representative Bryan had suggested and that this committee subsequently adopted, which is line 12 of the memo, which talks about any private or public official. And I'm going to suggest that we say, as defined in ORS 418-470, which is the child abuse reporting statutes, who in their official capacity has to report, shall be required to take a class, et cetera, et cetera. The language from 12 to 15 on page 1 of the memo and 1 to 9 on page 2 of the memo are basically the Bryan amendments that were adopted last time. What the new Section 6 does from 1 to 11 is adopt some of the language that was in the original bill that the OMA was playing with when the committee considered their amendments. Then we got into Representative Minnis's amendments, which didn't deal with mandatory training, training for mandatory reporters anyway. So what I've done is try to take some language that talks about CSD implementing this education class and then tied it together with the amendments that were previously adopted by the committee.
Well, the chair is going to move Section 6, as set out in the memorandum 61289 from Holly Robinson Counsel, Legal Counsel, to the full Family Justice Subcommittee. That committee, that memorandum is now before us and has been explained by learned counsel. Lines 1 through 15 on page 1. I named it page 1 since it's not marked page 1. Lines through 1, page 9 on page 2. I named it page 2 since it's not marked page 2. Does everyone understand what I just did?
Just trying to make me feel better.
Representative Minnis, please.
I did, and I have one question on the amendments presented today, and that is on line 14, the word required to take for any private or public official. I guess I just want to make it clear who we're saying is required to take these courses, develop. If we're talking about a medical practitioner, we're talking about a physician who, I'm assuming, specializes in pediatric medicine or something of that nature, or an emergency room physician?
Mr. Chair, Representative Minnis, it is the intent, the intent behind this is as follows. There is a mandatory duty to report. There are 100,000 people in Oregon who have a mandatory duty to report. There are 6,000 physicians, for example, that have this duty. By taking the language regular and ongoing contact, it is the legislative intent of this that those people who have a duty to report and an obligation to report will then do some self-selecting and say, yes, I have regular and ongoing contact, and therefore I will take this case, take this class. I think it would be very difficult, given the numbers of people involved, to come up with, and someone can probably wordsmith it and maybe come up and make it a little bit tighter, but rather than the legislature saying, every person who deals with children, in an attempt to deal with the secretaries, the janitors, the dentists who may see kids once a month, it seems like, given the fact that there is currently in statute a mandatory duty to report and a liability if you don't, that there would be some motivation to be self-selective based on a definition of regular and
ongoing
contact. Okay,
Mr. Chair, and for counsel, I am assuming then the words self-select are really key words.
At this stage, yes.
And I'm saying that for the legislative record, so we're not mandating something on a group that we have no intention of mandating this kind of training on.
That's correct, Brian.
Representative Brian, please.
Where were the words self-select?
It's not in there.
It's just
a regular and ongoing contact.
Oh,
I think it's
yeah.
just a statement for the legislative record and
yeah.
for the history.
Mr. Chair, for the record, when we came up with that language, it's an official covered by 418-470. Who, in their official capacity, not off duty or anything else, but in their official capacity, has regular and ongoing contact with children. And the intent was to narrow it down to affected parties who have, as a course of their business, contact with children.
Mr. Chair, Representative Minnis, an example that we came up with, which I think argues against defining it much more, is a school secretary who's in the front office, probably has regular and ongoing contact. The executive secretary to the principal, who may never come out of her office, his or her office, who never comes into contact, probably would not have to take the class. But I think to define it any more, given what Representative Bryan has said, it becomes more cumbersome and more onerous than I think is necessary at this point.
Is there any objection to the amendment that's before the committee?
Sure.
Representative Bryan, please.
And move Senate Bill 967A as amended to the full committee with a due pass.
Senator Bryan so moves. Is there discussion? Would the clerk please call the roll on Representative Bryan's motion?
Representative
Bryan? Aye. Calhoun?
Aye.
Clark?
Aye.
Clark?
Aye. Edmondson?
Aye.
Hennett?
Aye.
Chair Courtney?
Yes. By the way, just so you know, those of you who've never been on a conference committee, just one of the great lines, it won't mean much to anybody but maybe me, what it's like to be on a conference committee. Representative Edmondson has just joined us and came over and whispered in my ear that he joins our committee to rest. He's still on the committee. That just shows you what happens in conference committees. He's now coming to our committee to rest. I'm sorry, Representative Clark, you didn't understand what I said.
I'm very slow, Mr. Chair.
No.
If
gentle
and kind of place.
All right, one last bill, and then we're home. Now, wait a minute. What are you doing now?
It's our last bill.
Is it just require amendments? We got to publicly hear this?
Yeah, it's quick.
All right, publicly hear this bill. Then these people ought to go home. They've worked very hard today.
Didn't we deal with
it? What? Senate Bill 592 to open the public hearing, possible work session. Please. That's right. That's why Beth was beating on me. Beth Mason and Carl. Great, Carl. I should know your name, and I guess you yelled at me at a big work session. Go ahead. Do it if you want, folks. Folks, I want to tell you.
Is this Beth Mason?
Huh? This is Beth Mason. No, I'm Beth Mason.
Didn't we deal with another Beth Mason on another bill?
Not the same Beth Mason. My name has been bandied about this session.
Bane Mason has been bandied about very recently, too.
I understand that. I understand that.
Mr.
no disrespect to Representative Mason, we're not related.
Just for the record, all of which makes us treat this witness with all the more respect.
Yeah, yes.
Deep
listen,
admiration
you come
and
here
respect.
With a great family name and tradition. Wherever you got it from.
Thank you. I'll tell my, yes, thank you. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Beth Mason. First, let me thank you for staying late. My remarks will be brief. You have before you a compromise bill that has been worked out with the District Attorneys Association, with Legal Aid, and with the private sector attorneys representing the family law section of the bar. I happen to be an attorney in private practice. I've been in private practice for approximately 11 and a half years. I also serve as a pro tem circuit court judge in Multnomah County. I serve a couple of days a month in the family court, and I have done that for almost 3 years now. In addition, I'm an officer in the family law section, and I come here with the section endorsement to this bill. What we're attempting to do is give us one more tool in the collection of child support. The situation arises this way. Someone has quite a large delinquency in child support, a large arrearage, and they're sitting on a home, a residence that they occupy that has significant equity. The process that's set up now allows the owner of a home to claim the first $15,000 of equity as a homestead exemption. In a foreclosure sale, if you have a judgment against a creditor, if you're an ordinary creditor, and you attempt to foreclose against that private residence to satisfy your judgment, you advertise a sale, you show up at the sale, generally you're the only bidder at the sale as the holder of the judgment, and if there is not another bidder, you must pony up $15,000 in cash to give to the owner of the home before you're allowed then to assume his position because it's his principal residence. For a holder of a child support judgment, this is an absolutely onerous burden. It precludes the collection of child support. So what we have is we have a protected savings account. We have a payor who continues to make his mortgage payment every month, continues to build equity in his home, and that equity is untouchable by his children for the collection of his child support. We find this situation most often in self-employed people. People who work for a wage and have an employer that's identifiable are fairly easy to reach through other means. And we don't anticipate that this remedy will be used frequently because it's expensive. Even if we get the remedy, it's still an expensive remedy. You have to publish, you have to conduct the sale, you have to hire a private attorney to do that. One of the items of the compromise bill that was specifically hammered out is that it specifically restricts the state from being involved in this process. They may not use that weapon at all. It's only the private sector who may use this in the collection of child support. So with that kind of background, I'm here to answer questions.
You want to speak?
Yeah, briefly to suggest that there is a clarification with respect to the state, that is, district attorneys represent private obligees in the right collection of support. So for that reason alone, we would seek the remedy for use for the purely private obligee.
And the male who just spoke is?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Carl Stecker, Deputy DA, Marion County.
I don't mean to insult you. I just got to get that right. Representative Minnis, please.
Well, am I understanding this bill correctly that you would force the foreclosure of a home?
No, there are protections. Prior to the authorized sale, the hearing would be conducted, and there are some specific factors that are enumerated for the consideration of the court as to whether or not to authorize that sale.
But the process that starts could ultimately result in the foreclosure of a home that is owned by someone who is delinquent in child support payments.
That is correct.
Whereas otherwise they're not in default on a loan that may exist on the home. Is that correct?
It has nothing to do with the mortgage.
Well, but there's
it's
a mortgage outstanding. There's equity in the property,
That's correct.
The person is not in default on the mortgage.
Correct.
But they are in arrears on their child support payments,
That's correct.
Then this
mm-hmm.
process would be set up so you could literally force the foreclosure of that property for the purposes of going to that equity and paying child support that is in arrears.
That's mm-hmm. correct.
And only for private people.
That's correct. And only for child support.
You can do that in any judgment.
Well, I'm just curious. 1 second. Do you have another reaction?
Well, I was going to throw up, but...
Representative Clark, I
just want to point out to Representative Minnis, as I think is the case, you can already do that if the outstanding child support judgment is $15,001.
If you want to forgive the first $15,000
right.
of your judgment.
That's what I mean, and you want to execute
that's correct,
$1.
But that's quite a penalty for the children.
No, I understand that, I'm saying we're not right. setting up a new legal mechanism. We're simply saying for the $15,000 exemption, if I sue you, John, and get a judgment against you for $14,000, I can't sell your house. We're saying... Unless my suit against you was for child support, then we can sell your house because you've got $14,000.
If I had $30,000 equity and was arrears $10,000,
we could under existing law, we could come after you.
I would retain the $15,000.
You
could
go
after 15,
the, we take the rest,
the 10,
right, or whatever's
right.
necessary to satisfy. The
so it's not a new process. Okay,
no.
I'm the
no.
I'm
and we don't. No,
yeah. no it sounds kind of radical.
Yeah, it does sound yeah.
awfully good. I'd like to further point out for the committee's information that there's a $3,000 limitation before this would even be available. In other words, the child support arrears would have to be $3,000. That's a threshold that has been set for any foreclosure action, and this falls within that as well.
Okay, one other question. Why only private...
There was some discussion at the Senate side, if I might, Mr. Chairman, Representative Minnis. There was some concern that the state, to collect back welfare, might implement, because welfare is for the support of children, and there was a concern that the state of Oregon should not be foreclosing homes to collect that welfare. So there was a concern expressed at the Senate Judiciary, and in conference among the three factions that are interested in this bill, we agreed that was probably appropriate to keep the state out of it. Now, mm-hmm. perhaps
wanted an airplane that
was yes, I've also got the Colleen Seelock of the Department of Justice and John Ellis have indicated they have signed off as far as the state's right to that.
Let the record show we're now in work session, even though I said possible work session, because I want to see what happens here. Representative Minnis has just moved it in my ear. He didn't move it in my ear.
It's as good a place as any, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, with all due respect,
I didn't
put it in your ear.
For the record, this is a formal proceeding. I've been told I have to be more dignified. Within a minute, quietly told me in my ear that he would like to move Senate Bill 967
to the full committee.
A and Gross to the full committee to pass recommendation. Now, with that motion on the floor, could we have Scott Representative Brian? You want to speak?
No, I was going to move the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No amendments.
I didn't hear any amendments.
Okay.
Now, we're here to entertain whatever you want to put forward. Representative Clory, are we keeping you awake? I don't mean to insult you, but
barely.
Representative Evanson, are you alive? I thought it was CPR. We got it. Representative Evanson, what are you doing? Oh, I thought you were leaving me. Representative Clark, you got your... Let's just call the roll because I don't... Representative Calhoun?
Call the question.
Thank you.
This has not been a shy group.
Please call the... I thought you were getting your keys. Ready. Would you call the committee, please, on this bill?
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Calhoun?
Aye.
Calhoun?
Aye.
Clark?
Aye.
Edmondson?
Aye.
Minnis?
Aye.
Chair Courtney?
Yes. We're adjourned. I really, you've been great. I'm sorry this happened this way. I really apologize.